inspire you. High school and collegiate Hall of Famer Margo Hinton, touching on the importance of self-discipline, always challenging yourself, and the support of community. It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio.
Welcome to the Give It Up podcast on UrbanMediaToday.com, where we still give it up for excellence, greatness, and leadership. And we continue to use sports as a metaphor for life. But remember, we are also a podcast that dissects social justice issues from a local position. Yes, with a global perspective. We're going to start how we always start, with the Give It Up spotlight. And now I know this brother's going to be real like, what are you doing, Margo? But I had to do it because he is someone to be spotlighted. It's none other than my cousin, the young man, and I'm calling him young because we're relatively the same age, who we thought we were siblings when we were younger, but we were really cousins. So it's Malcolm Thomas. Listen, Brother Malcolm, Brother Minikek. Malcolm Thomas was born and raised in Pittsburgh and attended Pittsburgh Public Schools, graduating from Peabody High School. He later attended Penn State University and graduated with a BS in education and a concentration in none other than Black Studies. While at Penn State University, he was one of the co-founders of the African School. I repeat, he co-founded an African school in college. And he designed, it was a program designed to introduce African culture as a means of addressing contemporary issues. Hello, we may need that right now. Mr. Thomas worked in education, violence prevention, social services during the past 27 years. He has also worked extensively in the field of mental health as a specialist through Mercy and later as an independent contractor with the Pittsburgh Public Schools Student Assistance Program. To support his commitment to mental and behavioral health, he has studied, trained, and in the healing arts of Qigong and meditation for over 20 years and is certified, that's right, in Iron Body Qigong. He has offered community classes and workshops in plant-based nutrition, mindfulness meditation, Qigong, and African culture for the past two decades. This brother, just like my guests, can do it all. In 2007, Mr. Thomas founded One Nation Education and Leadership Training, a program focused on educational programs for and about youth. In this capacity, he has worked with several thousand students over 18 schools through psychoeducational groups, instructional presentations, assemblies, and school-wide initiatives. Currently, he sits on the African American Men and Boys Task Force and is the director of the Reaching Back program, which focuses on youth leadership development, brain health, nutrition, chess, and public debate. A major focus of this program is the application of ageless cultural wisdom and the promotion of African American male youth to re-enter the teaching profession. He also is the new Dean of Students for the Male Life STEAM Academy, and he's doing work there, as well as the co-founder of the Authentic Educator Professional Development Program and the Manhood Maximizer Program for young men. Let's give it up for my cousin, my brother, from another mother, Mr. Malcolm Thomas. Woo! Now my guest, y'all. She was here before and she's fire. I wrote something down because it's got, I gotta say it with the fire that she brings. Now, my distinguished guest, the love activist, the learning instigator, the super educator, a thriving member of the beloved community of educators and humans who are reaching back, like my cousin Malcolm would say, to inspire students and humanize education praxis. It's the king, y'all. She's my favorite king next to the king of kings. It's none other than Michelle King. What's up?
Oh my gosh, this is like a giant love letter.
And, let's go.
And thank you for having me. And it's been a pleasure because I'm going to end on that note on the introduction.
So this is what I got to say first. How are you?
Yes.
And just a couple words about the spotlight on Brother Malcolm. But how are you first? That's what I want to know. What's going on?
I appreciate that. I'd like to ask the question, how's your spirit? And I'll ask you that after I answer your question. I would say I've been answering solid. And I say that with, because I want to hold the tension of like sorrow and grief. you know, sorrow of the unknown sorrows that I live amongst, that we all live amongst, you know, people that have lost lives and jobs and ways of being to like little losses, you know, and also the joys. And I think like I want to remain sensitive to that. Because I'm not disconnected from, and none of us are disconnected. We're interconnected beings. And so I think I am solid, holding the tension of sorrow and joy that's all around me and wanting to stay attuned to that.
I love it. I love it. Now, I know you've met. Well, let me answer your question. You said, how's your spirit?
Yeah, so, how's your spirit?
So if I was being honest, before I got on the podcast, because you like draw energy out of me. And it's wild because you draw energy out of me while at the same time being so just humble and soothing to my soul. So it's just like this is a great thing. But before I got on here, I'm contemplating COVID possibly for the second time because I was exposed to COVID. So but I'm feeling okay. I don't think that I have COVID because I just had it literally like a month ago. So I'm that's where I'm at. My spirit is good, but it's also, you know, questioning what's going to happen going forward. So thanks for asking. How's your spirit?
Yeah. It's a question I ask because I think we should be called to ask questions that we want to hear the answer to. And I think like, you know, a lot of our questions in our culture are like, oh, hey, you know, fine. Got it. Yeah, you know, and it's like, we're not fine. We're not fine.
I love what you did at our meeting. I think it was last week or the week before. Everything's going together for me. I believe the title of the Word document, because I came a little bit late, was Obscure Sorrow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Obscure Sorrow. Just talk about that a little bit, because I think that would be beneficial for people.
Yeah, so this, I love words, and words are amazing. And words can be like portals. And they can also be like prisons, you know.
And Say that again.
Words can be like portals, pathways, and that create openings and opportunities. And they can also be like prisons that they contain and lock away and are not freeing. And so with the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, I came across it years ago, and I love this guy's work, John Kernan. And he had this Tumblr, he still has it, this Tumblr, with these words that he made up. And you're like, oh yeah, also words are also made up.
You know what I
mean? Yes. Words are made up. But he was trying to really kind of capture these feelings of things that like, it's hard to kind of like contain and express. And so I asked our community, Pittsburgh Educator, Educational Leader Academy, PELA, to find a word on this site of the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows that resonates with you in this moment. And I think it's I've done it as a way to introduce people to each other, even people familiar to you, like what word is resonating with you? As a way to engage in conversation, a way to engage with that question, like, how's your spirit? To know what's on your mind? What are you grappling with? And also to have a kind of sensitivity to the nuance of how we're feeling, you know? And do you remember what your word was?
And I knew you were going to ask that.
I'm a teacher.
I can't. I know it was a word I couldn't pronounce. And I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember the meeting. Do you remember? Listen, because I got rather deep with it. And I know what I talked about. I can say what I talked about. So it must have been related to this. But I had mentioned that I was in class and we were doing our world read aloud. And I picked this book called I Am Enough. And when I got done, I asked the kids a question, and they were free to either raise their hand or not raise their hand. But the question was, has anybody ever felt like they didn't belong? And so, you know, kid raised her hand and was like, yeah, all of us raised our hand. And so I think it had something to do with that. I'm trying to remember. And yeah. You know what? Hold on. I remember now very clearly. So there was this kid when he was in sixth grade. This was the story I told. There was a kid when he was in sixth grade that had seemed to have everything going for him. Good athlete, good looking kid. And then I remember walking past his locker and just looking at him one day. For some reason that day, I felt like I could like feel his soul. And I felt like his soul was hurting, but he had a mask on. And so I never said anything to him, but I always remembered it in the back of my mind. I was like, what was that all about? It was almost like I was like drawn to him. So I built a relationship based on that experience with him. And then fast forward later on, he ended up committing suicide. And so I can't remember my word, but that was what came to me. I remember now when I was talking to you guys. So that was heavy, and I didn't expect to talk about that, but that was a time where I was like, wow, could I have done something to make a difference in his life? And I don't know, till this moment, it's like it happened and I still don't know.
Our lives are rich. So that word was Watashiato.
Yes, that was it.
Watashiato, the curiosity about the impact you've had on the lives of the people you know. Wondering which of your harmless actions or long forgotten words might have altered the plot of their stories in ways you'll never get to see.
Listen, you just broke it down. That was it. Ooh, I didn't know we was getting that deep, y'all. We're not scripted out here. We just go. I love it. Woo, that was really deep. So yeah. All right. So my next question, and I'm sure you'll bless some people. And I have to say this too. I said it last week. My guest, you guys, I'm just saying, get a call a friend, send a podcast to somebody, because my guests are so good. And I'm not saying it for selfish reasons. I'm saying I feel like we need to spread the love activism that's coming from the podcast, because the people that come on, you can like see their hearts. Like I was saying, I could see that kid's soul that day. I feel like you can hear, if you're just listening, you can hear the hearts of my guests, and the things that they say are just so usable and real. So tell a friend. So my next question is, so what are you paying attention to right now? Like what are you seeing? Is there anything new? Like what's your focus? What's holding your attention?
So what I will offer is thinking about the seasons. So we are in this part of the country and part of the world in February 10th, it is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it is winter. And winter is a time of restoration. Winter is the time of reflection. It's the time of regeneration, and it's the time of withdrawal. And so it's easy in our culture to feel like, you know, I feel like we want to live like spring. Go, 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 grow, grow, grow. Go, 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 right? And it's just not possible. Like if you look at anything in the natural world, nobody, you can't go at that pace. It's like you don't get tulips, you don't get these amazing flowers in the spring without the hardening of the ground in winter, which also kills many of the pests so that like our plants have a chance to thrive when they are above ground. And so I think like I often ask, you know, what needs to be restored? What needs to be regenerated? What do I need to withdraw from? And I have a a fasting practice. I fast every Wednesday, once a week. And I ask these questions. And I think these are trusting slowing down. It's easy to get caught up in speediness and what's the next thing I need to know, what I need, you know, what am I missing out on? So I'm a practitioner of JOMO, the joy of missing out. And I'm a practitioner of abundance. And the world is rich and abundant and full of wonder. And so I trust that this time is requiring a slowing down, noticing, and thinking about, you know, what do we need to let go of? What do we need to compost? What do we need to surrender?
I love that. I love that. All I know, I heard the joy of missing out. And with that note, we're going to take our first commercial break. Again, this is the Give It Up podcast. We will be right back.
Did you know untreated chlamydia and gonorrhea can make it so that you or your partner might not be able to become pregnant? Get tested today. Visit Allegheny County Health Department's Public Health Clinic for free and confidential walk-in HIV STD screenings at the Hill District location, 1908 Wiley Avenue. Call 412-578-8081 for more information.
I have a dream.
Welcome back, you guys. It's the Give It Up podcast with my special guest, none other than the King. That's Michelle King, who is the king figure, by the way, in Mr. Mark Williams' life. He did say that on a podcast last week, if you weren't listening. And she just got done talking about the seasons. And what I heard was the joy of missing out. Whoa. Go deeper into that, because that's life-changing.
Well, if you think about how we are motivated by the fear of missing out, FOMO. And it encourages a scarcity mindset, like there's not enough. If you don't do this, if you don't acquire this, if you don't get this, if you don't post this, if you're not on this website, if you're not doing these things, you're not enough. You're not enough. And I think that works against what is needed at this time, and really for us to really learn how to be back in community together, to be in community with each other and be in right relationship. Even with ourselves, within our own internal worlds, and so with the land. And so I think the structure of our lives, the busyness of them, and this false narrative about us not being enough. And what would it mean if we lived believing that we all, each of us hold dignity and each of us are enough? There's like nothing more to add. You know what I mean? There's nothing like.
That's the book I was reading last week. Yeah. I am enough.
It's like, what are all the things that you, you know, if we ask folks, if you really trusted JOMO, the joy of missing out, and believe that you were enough, what are things that you would surrender right now or withdraw from?
What should I answer that question? I'm nervous about it. Woo. And it's funny because immediately I go back to when the world shut down at the beginning of COVID, and I was go, 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 which, by the way, is my nickname. That's what my nephews call me, Go, Go. And Go, Go was go, go, going. And the world shut down. And I immediately was like, I could be in the house for the next year. I'm good. So obviously, you know, all those things that I were doing, I'm hoping I was blessing some people, but I'm like, in terms of mental and physical health, I was like beat down. And by staying home and just getting out, taking walks every day and reading, somehow I became an artist. I learned how to draw. I was playing the guitar. It was like a whole nother world. And I realized that that was okay. I was enough, just like you said. And it was enough to be home, healthy, safe, and learning new things. And I was able to communicate with my cousins. We did Zoom like every night, built those relationships up. And it was just, and honestly, when I went back to school this year, because I taught cyber school this year, I was like, I didn't mind not coaching. I didn't mind not refereeing. I didn't mind, you know, not running here and there because I'm somewhat of a people pleaser. I didn't really mind not doing those things. And to be honest, I'm back on that train a little bit. I got back on the train and I'm going. So this is definitely an awakening and an opening, like you were talking about at the beginning, to look at those things. I might steal this Wednesday practice. Yeah. I love it. That's good stuff.
Because what you, I have realized in that practice is that I'm not being deprived of anything. I'm fasting. I'm not starving. It's not something being acted upon me. I'm making a choice. And amazingly, I'm not being deprived, you know? And so all these things that we think like, oh, I got to eat to be fit. You know, I'm going to not have the energy. I'm not going to be able to do all these things. And it's like, but are you being nourished? And that's not just with what we put in our bodies, but it's also the sounds. It's also what we're reading. It's also who we're in community with. And there is something very powerful about the attending to that week after week, day after day, or however your, whatever our practice is. And I think that, like, if I connect it with the work of Martin Luther King, I'm, you know, a big fangirl of the beloved community, you know. And I think about the loss of two very influential people in my life, which is Bell Hooks and Thich Nhat Hanh, or Thay, who they both have passed away recently. And major practitioners of the beloved community and in the practice of love and living the practice and embodying the practice. And so I think what each of us are called to do is to embody a way of being in the world. And I might ask, like, well, what are each of us who are here, who are listening, what are we devoted to? What are we showing up and practicing in the mundane to the fantastic? And we can think like, oh, I'm going to change the world, but it's our own practice that exists right in our bodies, between another, in our homes, that is the first places that we even get a glimpse of how we want to understand things like love and justice, compassion, joy, sorrow. So what is our own, like, individual daily practice? What is our practice between us, amongst us? And so it's really, this is, winter is a very good time to reflect on, am I holding the practices that serve the way I want to be in the world and the things that I want to believe, right?
Wow. This is good. This is good. I'm telling you, sometimes I feel selfish about the podcast because I'm taking the stuff and I'm like, this is for me. You know, you're in church and you're like, is the pastor talking about me? I'm on the podcast like, this is all me. I need to do this. And it's funny you said, like, slowing down. Because I'm like, even in school, I'm like, go, go, go. And then today, for some reason, there was a kid sitting in the hallway and something said, stop and talk to this kid. A kid, if I were honest, that I would never normally talk to and has on occasion, I've been like, Lord. But I stopped and talked to this kid. And I had a class going on. I wasn't even dealing with my class. But for some reason, this kid was important. In that moment. And what came out of it is I just got a whole nother understanding of who she was, which was a connection I may not have made if I hadn't slowed down. Because I slowed down as I was rushing past her. I literally took a couple steps past her and I'm like, she had her head down. I was like, let me go back. I ended up talking to her for like, you know, more than 10 minutes, more than I should have been. And when I walked away, I was like, I need to do that more. I have to do that more. I got to slow down more. I'm putting that into practice.
You know, there was this study that was done. There was like these two groups of young people, and they were each given a test to that they were going to give this speech about how to be of service in the world, how to help other people. Half the group was told, you know, take your time, because they were directed to a place that they had to go to. And when you get there, give the speech. And the other half of the students were told, like, you're late, we're running behind, you gotta, you know, hurry up and get there. What both of the groups don't know is that they hired someone, a kind of old man, to follow in the streets. And wouldn't you know that most of the students, particularly the ones who were in a hurry, like stepped over the man, bypassed the man, most of them didn't stop, despite the fact that they were giving a talk shortly about how to be of service and help others. And yet, and time was a major predictor of who didn't stop. So my question to each of us, is time a barrier to how you want to show up and be in the world? And if it is, how might we interrupt that? And, you know, what is putting you in the way of how you want to practice and be in the world, right? And so we can, I think, look to King as both aspirational, but also to look within ourselves and say, well, how am I doing that in my most, you know, kind of basic ways, in the most mundane ways, in the, you know, how many people have we run past with our light, our values? I'm going to save the world. Oh, help. Keep running.
I don't have time. Hold on. I can't help you. I'm about to save the world. Right? Where we miss the thing that's right in front of us.
Right.
Wow. That's important, because, you know, I hear and I say all the time, I want to stay in the moment. Let me be in the moment. But if you're run, run, go, 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 there's a lot of moments that you're missing. And then I even notice, like, if I'm in class and I'm trying to do something and the kid's coming up trying to ask a question, I'm like, hold on. And then, am I even hearing what they're saying? Am I even answering the right question? Especially because we all got masks on. You can't hear or talk with a mask on.
Right.
So, yeah, like, slow down. Let's not miss the opportunities of the thing that we say that we're about.
And to really hear, right? I mean, are we really hearing what people are asking? You know, I think this is one of the beauties of teaching middle school. It's like, oh, I hear the words that you're saying, but your emotional state or like your yearning is something else, right? So how are we really hearing what's being needed? How do we even hear ourselves? Like, sometimes we're not even in touch with our own grief and sorrow that we bypass. And sometimes actually we can use helping others as an excuse not to attend to our own pain. And so how can we be, you know, discerning about what is needed? And I think the fast pace undermines this sensitivity to what is needed in the moment for ourselves or for others, right? Because we can't always be these big hearts. We can't always be open. That's nothing wrong. It's just like, do I have the capacity to serve, right? I think we should probably have like a set of questions, like, how might I be of service? Do I have capacity? Are they even asking for what's needed?
Whoa, that speaks to so many things that I'm going through right now. But you have to say that again. How can I be of service? Do I have the capacity? And are they even asking for my help? Yeah, because I think I actually got in conflict about this. where I'm trying to deliver help that somebody's not even asking for. And then I'm getting mad about the fact that they are not wanting the help I'm trying to give. Wait a minute. I just had an aha moment. Did Oprah come on the show? I think it's Michelle King, but Oprah came in with the aha. Yes. Are they even asking for help? Wow. Because a person's trying to tell me your help may cause me issues. And I'm like, how are you denying? You don't want help? Right?
Right.
I want the help to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have conflict over me trying to, help you. So you need to act like you want help.
And you need to be grateful.
Right.
And grateful in a way that I think is grateful.
That was right. God that came in right there and just put me in right relationship. Thank you, God.
Well, this is what, like, you know, the beauty for me of the beloved community is that it's not some distant promised land, right? It is in the spaces in between, like right now is we are practicing the beloved community, right? It can show up in any place between and amongst people. And it's not necessarily about neatness. It's not necessarily about like no conflict. It is, we work with everything, right? And we stay in relationship with each other. So how is it that we can take, you know, coming back to this notion of words, how can we make it a living, just like community is a living concept? Can we make a beloved community? Can we make these ways of being living, tangible, that are always like in response to the environment, in response to other people? I often think about when we have terms like justice and love, it's like, okay, we got justice like Thursday. We're good now. We got justice for the rest of the week, right? Justice too is a living concept. So how do we even as beings really grapple? What does it mean to have justice? How do I even reconcile what that actually means? It's contingent on the time. It's contingent on the people. And I think about like, a quote that King said. He said, power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. And justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love.
Now, when we come back, you're going to have to break that down. When we come back, you have to break that down and say it again. Hey, we got another commercial break, you guys, to Give It Up podcast, and we'll be right back.
Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio celebrates Black History Month.
In the 1920s, Black Bottom and Paradise Valley were the center of music and culture in Detroit, hosting artists such as Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and Billie Holiday, and home to hundreds of Black-owned businesses.
Celebrating Black History Month, we are Urban Media Today.
I have a dream.
Welcome back with my guest, love activist, and she just gave us a King quote on the subject, justice. Please say that quote again, because that was powerful.
Yes, power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. Justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love.
Let that sit, y'all. That's awesome. I'm definitely going to have to look that quote up. That needs to be like in my office. Just, I need to see that. Because love and justice are the two things that resonate with me the most in life, literally, those two things. So that's wow. I love that.
For me, I think like as I've continued to grapple with love and the complexity of love and what it means and justice, I see them both as an awareness process. That the more I expand my awareness, the deeper I can be in right relationship with love and justice.
Love it. So you guys, this is a tribute to a king, Dr. Martin Luther King, and we have the King Michelle King in Pittsburgh just really, I know she's blessing y'all because she's blessing me. So that's how it goes. So let's dive into some educational things. I want to get some of these questions about education out here. Yeah. And the one I want to go to is this. So there's a school called Roses in Concrete in California. I'm just learning about it. Shout out to my professor, Oscar Medina at Prescott College. He teaches the Radical Pedagogy as Praxis class that I'm in right now. And little did I know, the love activist Michelle King met the guys that I listened to his TED Talk, and you'll say his name better than me, but their school, Roses in Concrete, is sort of predicated on some poetry from Tupac. And I'm going to read what Tupac said. Did you hear about the rose that grew from the concrete, proving nature's law wrong? It learned to walk without having feet. Funny it seems, but by keeping its dreams, it learned to breathe fresh air. Long live the rose that grew from the concrete when no one else ever cared. So that's a school, and that is their, the words that they sort of have taken and held, hope to manifest within their students. And I watched like a little clip of one of the educators, and I can't remember his name, but he said on his hat, he had Peace King. That's what he had in the Peace King. And I was just like, okay, this is where they're coming from. And the lesson that was being taught was on self-hate. They were asking these elementary school kids about self-hate and what's the opposite of self-hate. And they were like, self-love. And then the teacher was like, how do you cultivate self-love? And the students were just so engaged that I'd never seen anything like that. And this is what's going on at Roses in Concrete in California. And Michelle, you know about one of the founders more than I do. So jump in and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Jeffrey Duncan Andrade, amazing scholar, human. I mean, I've loved, he was here speaking at University of Pittsburgh Center for Urban Education and giving a talk. And just amazed by his work. He has a book called The Art of Critical Pedagogy that he wrote with Ernest Morrell, another amazing scholar, Possibilities for Moving from Theory to Practice in Urban Schools. And I really think, like, you know, what is seeding, what's foundational in your work? And the primary goal of their school is to develop youth committed to lives characterized by self-discipline, integrity, love, and hope in the pursuit of justice and equity for all communities. Like, that's why they exist. Do you know what I mean? So, and then, you know, this is like amazing. And it's the beginning of the work. So how do you stay attuned and sensitive to that goal? If that is how you show up in a space, then you're going to be talking about things like self-love. You're going to talk about things like self-hate, how it manifests, how it shows up in our media, how it shows up in our literature, how it shows up in our history. You know what I mean? These would not be like, oh, they're not really teaching, right? Go back to the goal, what is foundational in the work. And I kind of ask that of any institution, what are you valuing? And how does that show up? And a lot of, you know, I think about, you know, it's like I was a history teacher for a long time and I believed in critical thinking until kids criticized my work. And I was like, I believe in authoritarian rule.
There it is. There it is.
But if you're going to be about this work, you got to be about this work. And you got to be, you know, devastated by your own aspirations. Because it is like, there are things that I have to, I don't even know so much as unlearn, but dream anew about how, for example, is it within our imagination to not have prisons? Is it in our imagination in this society that everybody has food, shelter, safety? And how are we working towards that, right? We don't need more millionaires, much less more billionaires. We need to learn how to leave things in the earth. clean things up, take lists.
I love it.
Transmute our poisons.
And just
traumas and reduce the load for future generations.
There it is, y'all. Yeah, I was watching his TED Talk, and he talked about, you know, we're teaching these things, but we're not, kids come into the school with a set of circumstances that we don't even address, but we want them to be able to do this problem and that thing and excel, but we haven't addressed, like you said, their basic needs. Their basic needs aren't being met. And so when I watched, like I said, I watched a little clip of the school and the kids were on drums and the teacher was on beating a drum and they were singing, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. And then somebody was like, how'd it go? Where my rose is at? Where my rose is at? I was like, this is for real education. Like this is, I want to be in that school. Just the beloved community at work, at roses and concrete.
What's really beautiful, and this is something that I learned from his talk, from Jeffrey Duncan Andrade's talk, that he said that the Maslow's hierarchy of needs was actually taken from the Blackfoot Crow, and it was actually flipped. And so there's a lot of the kind of individual aspects in Maslow's, you got to meet those. But one of the first things is not thinking about food, shelter, and all that, is just self-actualization and community actualization. Like, it's already fundamental that people are food and have those things. And what's primary is self-actualization. Like, what is the fullest expression of what you're meant to be? And I feel like with that kind of metaphor, roses and concrete, we are robbing ourselves of the beauty and generosity of the human expression when we are not allowing for self-actualization of every being. Like, why are we allowing beings to die on the vine? You know, it's that feels criminal to me. How are we not allowing the spirit, however you come in, right? And it doesn't have to be like, it could be in any form, right? It doesn't mean you have to do math fast, right? I don't think more people who can, you know, quickly calculate things. But what I think is called for are elders, and we're seeing that in some of our young people. What is called for are those who are attuning and paying attention. What's called for are those who are see the need that's out there and are prioritizing that over consumption, entertainment, busyness, right? It's like, did you see that movie Don't Look Up?
No, but I heard everybody talking about it.
Yeah.
Was it like meteors or something? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, how it's coming to destroy the world. And it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, trying to make a buck.
Wow. Like, don't look up. Right? Just like, pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah. And so what is, but I also want to hold that kind of tension with like what is urgent and what is called to be done and what's really needed, you know? How are we attuning this generation to really be of service for the worlds we want to live into?
This is good stuff. And so my next question, we're going to stay with education, is so what educators, because I know you've been collaborating and been around educators and you're the super educator, the learning instigator. So who have you witnessed, whether you had them as a teacher or you've witnessed their teaching or experienced it, like who would you shout out as somebody doing that work that you speak of? Well, leaning on self-actualization and come as you are. I love it.
Yeah, let me, you know, I got to think about, I got to shout out my former school husband, Nick Kaczmarek, who, you know, when we both left our respective schools to come to the Environmental Charter School, and is in like real solidarity to do the work, to show up, to be unrelenting in his pursuit of serving young folks. I think about a colleague that I do work with. She's at Pittsburgh Public, Nina Unitas. They're in charge of, you know, kind of supervisor of like visual arts and doing right by her teachers. They got to do a week or so ago, got to go out in the community and do PD, you know, really like holding the full complexity of teachers so they can serve the young people that they're in care of. So I look at, you know, folks that are really have a duty to care. I think about my my buddy Zeno Ruiz, who, you know, I collaborate with on projects, and she's at the White House and in other places. She used to be at the Children's Museum, and I think about, you know, there's so many more people. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I want to hold everybody who is doing the invisible labor of just loving and staying in relationship with folks. Like really the things that we won't ever see, but are going to grow in the people that you're serving, and it's going to show up even if it shows up a generation from now. Because that's like both the beauty and the challenge of teaching. It's like your feedback it may be invisible to you or may be unrecognizable in the form that you gave it in, but it will return to you in a way that if you are really about your practice, you will have a sensitivity to that gratitude that comes back to you. So for all of you, for you who are just showing up in your full complexity, you know, and I thank every teacher that, is showing up to do the hard work. And I want to offer that, how do we care for the people who care for our beings?
I love that. I love it. We're coming back though. We're up to another break, and then we'll be in our last segment, you guys. There's so much that we want to talk about. We won't get it all in, but that just means, you know, this Dr. King will have to come back. I'm just saying. We'll be back. This is the Give It Up Podcast. Be right back.
Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio celebrates Black History Month.
Langston Hughes, an American novelist, playwright, and poet, innovator of the art form of jazz poetry. He was a shining star of the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s. Langston Hughes was a literary giant who dared to think, "I can make history."
Celebrating Black History Month, we are Urban Media Today.
I have a dream.
We're back with none other than Michelle King with the tribute to a king. We've been talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. We've been talking about educators. We've been talking about other super educators. And so you gave us a list and you didn't want to leave anybody out. She could go on and on because she's a super educator and we know like attracts like. So she has so many people that she could name. So all that's-
Can I add two more?
Yes, do it, do it.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to also shout out my co-creators of Payla, Tina Responti, and Shannon Wildless, who are showing up trying to serve educators fully at the intersections of mindfulness, SEL, and social-emotional learning, and justice, and leadership, and just really trying to hold and love leaders so they can do their work. And they show up in their respective communities, loving people as they are, in their with all their life challenges, you know. So I just like I also want to shout them
and
out.
And Tina and Shannon, I'm a witness. I've been there and I know And I got the books to prove it. They gave us a stack of books like this. Woo, definitely. They are doing the work. Absolutely. So we're coming toward the end of this thing. So next time you come, we're going to talk about banned books because that's a thing right now. But the last, next to last, I got two more questions for you. So the first one is, if you had complete power over the direction of education, what would you include in this new education? I'm going to call it decolonized education. And what would you exclude or leave out? And answer that in any direction you want.
So I would say I would have power with folks and not power over. And I say that because this comes back to the practice of justice and love is the sensitivity and awareness. And there are a lot of things. There's so much that I don't know, but I know a lot more in community. And so some of the things I think we that is required to be composted is some of the curriculum that we have that is like really based on scarcity, based on single narratives and limited stories. I think this is the time really to hold the fact that we're complex ancestors that come from complex people and complex and complicated, right? Attuning and developing a robust capacity to handle complicated histories. I think our inability to tend to those complicated histories, we just push on harms to the next generation. And how do we grapple with them in public? I would also like, I would advocate for a return to intergenerational learning communities. This is a part of long human history. And I feel like we're so segregated by age that we're not even like really in discourse with each other to say, how is the world working for you? I mean, I know what it's like for me in this, my body and age, and that is a limited truth. But I want to have a deeper understanding of why, like my daughter's generation, she's like 22, suffer deeply from anxiety and depression. How might I be in discourse? How might I know what it's like to be in your body living in this world at this time? And what are things that we might need to learn together? Or I might need to, you know, not lead, but listen. I also would advocate that where are these, I like to call them third spaces. It's not work, it's not home, but spaces to be in community. That for us to show up like accidentally, you know, we used to have like arcades and skating rinks, and you know, you had to like, you know, negotiate things like with folks.
And we promised last time we would meet people at the Highland Park, I think the reservoir. I'm going to commit. Sunday, I'll see you at the reservoir, people. No, Saturday. Saturday's better.
But I think we can, you know, pick a day in the future and really, you know, show up. There's like groups like Outdoor Afro, and there's a local chapter in Pittsburgh. We can show up and do activities there, but like, you know, how can we, Kimberly might would be a cool person to have on your podcast.
Wait, who's that?
Kimberly Renfro, Outdoor Afro in Pittsburgh.
Okay. She's on. Let's go.
Also happens to be a teacher.
I got to get all these lists of people because you gave me a whole list of folks. So I'm ready for them.
Yeah. So that's a, I don't know if that's, so that's some part of it, but I also, you know, how do we, you know, play? Like, what are ways that we can play together? What are ways that we can be in movement? What are ways that, as much as I love words, what are the nonverbal ways of like being in community, you know? And so that could be anything from meditation to prayer to dance to drumming, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I kind of feel like we need a, I'm interested. I wanted to ask you because there's like this master class on like Black history. Have you seen that?
I think it's no, free and open to everybody. I haven't seen it.
I feel like we need to be in like big classroom, you know, like, you know.
Yes.
A different, I don't even want to say classroom because already that confines and constricts what's possible.
A space.
It's got to be a circle. It's got to be, you know, I just think, and also storytelling. What are the kinds of stories we might be telling now? What are the new structures, right? And I would advocate that perhaps we should no longer try to be good people, but in fact be authentic, complicated people. When I think about the energy that is put in for the appearance of good, right? And not the energy in the day-to-day messiness of life.
Wow. I can't believe we're coming to the end. I have to ask you one more question because I've asked everybody on the Tribute to the King. But there's so much I could say about what you just said, because at our church, Pastor Leanne, shout out to Pastor Leanne, she does a prayer at the end. And part of the prayer is praying for discomfort, so we can be challenged where we are. And so I think I got to get her on to dive deeper into that. But I have to ask you the question, who is the king figure in the king, Michelle King's life? And we'll end it with that question. We got about less than a minute. Oh.
Okay. First thought. I'm going to go with my daughter, Olivia. Olivia Ames. And I will say she teaches me how to love her as she deserves to be loved. And she teaches me how to attend to my own pain so that I could love her more fully. And she teaches me that she is radiant and amazing and joyful and sorrow and complex and wondrous. And it helps me to support her being her fullest expression and not my limited imagination of what she might be. So.
Well, we can't end it any better than that. Wow. And that's your daughter. That's awesome. I got to get her on the show. I got to get her on the show too. I got to get part of your beloved community. I got to get deeper into your beloved community because it's just amazing. You guys, it's over. I wish it wasn't, but it's over. I want to say thank you to my guest, special guest, Michelle King. This has been the Give It Up podcast on urbanmediatoday.com. Shout out to Kiki, Trevin, and Mr. Alan Lakin. Everybody, give it up and be blessed.
It's Give It Up with Margo Hinton on Urban Media Today Radio. Brought to you by Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions.
The views and opinions expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect on the official policy or position of Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio. Any content provided by guests, sponsors, or advertisers are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.